Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
HIV is a leading cause of death for black women ages 25 to 34.
The leading cause?
And if your man just came out of prison, get him tested. You don't know what he's doing up in there. All you know is what he tell you.
That was Queen Latifah playing the role of an AIDS activist in the new HBO film Life Support. When the writer and filmmaker Nelson George set out to make this feature film about AIDS in the black community, he had a personal story to draw on, his own family. His sister Andrea contracted HIV 10 years ago from her husband, who was an intravenous drug user. After learning she was pregnant, she committed herself to researching everything she could about living with HIV. That's when she found out that she could have her baby without passing on the virus if she got the proper treatment. Andrea went on to work for an AIDS outreach group in Brooklyn called Life Support and became an activist in the community. Now Nelson George has come out with a drama inspired by his sister's story called Life Support, and it stars Queen Latifah playing the role based on Andrea. It will air on HBO starting this Saturday, and Nelson George joins me now. Hi, Nelson. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be back. I have to correct a couple of inaccuracies.
Sure, go ahead.
One is that the organization she works for is called Life Force.
Not Life Support, but Life Force.
Life Support is my creation. Life Force is the real one that's actually still in Brooklyn now.
Got it.
And she's had the virus since, like, 93. So it's been a lot longer than that.
Okay. And I have to pass along a little breaking news we just got. There has been a verdict in the Lewis Libby trial. They have not announced it. They will announce it at noon. So I presume we will have that on our top-of-the-hour newscast. Just thought people would like to know. This film is a drama. It tells a very human story based on the life of your sister. But as we heard in that clip, there are some striking statistics showing this is a very real issue. Why did you make a fictional story rather than a documentary?
Because, even though documentaries are doing, very well in the last few years, there's something about having a star the magnitude of a Queen Latifah that's going to bring people to this material that wouldn't otherwise. The attention we've gotten so far, just in terms of media attention, and also in terms of the turnout at screenings we've had around the country, is, star power can't be denied in this country. So the thing about it is Latifah didn't have to do the film. I mean, she got an incredible pay cut to do the film. When I say incredible, I mean incredible, enough to finance several countries. And she took time out of a big tour she had planned because she believed in the material. The first thing she said to me when we met about the script was that she knew who this woman was. Latifah is, a working class woman from New York City who happened to be able to rhyme and then act. She and my sister had a lot of similarities, both in temperament and background. They're both Pisces as well, which bonded them. And this is a very complicated character. She does heroic things in terms of her work in the black community. She also is a very flawed and complicated and even sometimes unsympathetic woman who manipulates people to get her way. And you see all of that. And I think one of the reasons this can be effective advocacy is that it's not simply, oh, she's fantastic because she does this.
Mm-hmm.
It's that she's fantastic and does this despite her weaknesses as a person.
Your producer, Shelby Stone, says this is not a hood movie. It's a working class poor movie. That's an important distinction. Can you describe that distinction?
Well, we grew up, my mother and my family, we grew up in the Tilden Projects and then in Brownsville, and then we lived in a home in East New York for a while, for many years. And those are neighborhoods that are known for crime and drugs. However, every day people get up, take their kids to school, go to work at school teachers as my mother was, or a sanitation man, or doing any of these many jobs that keep the city moving, who aren't gangsters or drug dealers or any of this stuff like that. These are the working class poor of the city. And so while the film is about HIV is the overall idea and it drives, it's a central part to the story, it also is a nuanced, I hope nuanced, look at the world of the black people that I grew up with, who are part of the community, who don't get a voice. And I feel like the film is very much about, at many levels, giving voice to elements in the black community that aren't romanticized by hip-hop or, celebrated on Oprah.
Nelson George, my guest on WNYC, his new film, Life Support, debuts Saturday on HBO. And let's listen to another clip here. Anna, played by Queen Latifah, talks about how she got the virus.
Now, I've been living with this virus for 10 years, And no, my husband wasn't creeping around with some other men or women. He was shooting cocaine. And so was I.
So is that one of the taboos among people susceptible to the disease, that it's associated with homosexuality, when it's so common to get it from drug use?
Well, the bottom line is disclosure in general. I mean, the problem with HIV and getting people in the black community to really be aware of it is that it comes down to behavior. What kind of sexual behavior are you having in your bedroom? What kind of sexual behavior is your mate having? Are they drug users? I mean, so all of these things are all entwined together, none of which are things that people really want to explore often with their mate or their lovers, or, you know, certainly discuss in public. So, I mean, a lot of what this goes back to is that what ACT UP said in the 80s in the gay community is actually true in the black community here in the 21st century, and that silence is deaf. So certainly the intravenous drug problem is probably a bigger issue than actually the down-low thing. The down-low thing seems sexier. It's more controversial. But truly, the amount of drug use that goes on, especially intravenous, you know, people shooting up with needles and passing that along, the sharing of needles, these are still huge parts of why these numbers among heterosexual women are so high.
We can take phone calls for Nelson George. Is he telling a story that sounds familiar to you, a story that needs to be amplified in some way? Do you want to ask him a question? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. Would you compare AIDS activism in the gay community to AIDS activism in the black community in any way?
Well, I mean, you know, it's about educating people. I mean, I think there's some differences in that. I mean, when it was, the gay community was very, came together, I mean, the AIDS, you know, activist community kind of came out of the gay liberation movement. You know, some of those same people who'd worked in the 70s to really bring gay rights to the forefront were able to transfer and segue into kind of activism around this disease. The same thing hasn't happened with black folk. I mean, AIDS, in a way, is a civil rights issue, but it's not being perceived as it is. It's much easier to get Al Sharpton and, you know,
Jesse Jackson,
organized around police brutality or racial profiling than it is to get them organized. You know, and that's the easy thing. Black people are really easy to organize around racism.
And yet, here are some stats that we got this morning from the website blackaids.org. Black women are 20 times more likely to get AIDS as white women, 20 times. Half of all new HIV infections are among black Americans, though blacks represent only 13% of the population. Between 2000 and 2004, deaths among whites living with HIV declined 19% compared with 7% for black Americans.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. There's been so much dialogue in the last few years, partly driven by the administration, about AIDS in Africa. You know, Bono has been talking about AIDS in Africa. So there's been a lot of, you know, both official attention, official concern, and sort of pop concern, if you will. But there hasn't been an equivalent level of media attention on what's going on in Brownsville, East New York, the Mississippi Delta, south side of Chicago. These numbers are alarming. When I go out, there's almost no one I meet in the black community around the country who doesn't have a relative, a friend, and sometimes a lover or family member, you know, close family member, who've suffered from the virus and, in fact, died from it. And the lack of information and the lack of communication about it in the black community is pretty damning. And hopefully the film is part of, you know, rechanneling that dialogue to refocus attention here in the country and refocus activism. Groups like my sister's group in Brooklyn are, you know, they're struggling for financing. I mean, if you give out condoms, you know, you're going against a lot of what the Bush administration wants you to do, ergo you're not getting funded.
Here's another part of the film set in the outreach group. You'll hear a woman in the group and the character of the AIDS activist.
Carlos ain't going to take no tests.
Well, then you need to kick Carlos to the curb. In the meantime, get him to wear one of these.
I hate Jimmy hats.
Well, then I hope you like taking pills. Because once you get this virus, you're going to be taking about 12 of them bad boys a day.
Want to talk about that exchange?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that people, you know, this whole, it's so much about behavior. I mean, people have to really have to understand that that wearing a condom and being tested are not, you know, they're almost mandatory now because, especially in areas with high risk populations. I mean, there's just it's just really, really rampant. And but it's the hardest thing in the world to get people to talk about. Black folks in America, people seem always have romanticized or exotified black people as very sexual or whatever. But the truth is, black people don't discuss sex very much. It's not that kind of dialogue about sexuality is very closeted and very not very open.
And yet, I wonder if one of the reasons that there isn't much talk about domestic AIDS in the media anymore, you know, as you say, we'll talk about Bono, we'll talk about AIDS in Africa, but not much about domestic AIDS anymore, is that the feeling is that everyone knows how to prevent AIDS. No dirty needles, no unsafe sex.
Well, I mean, everyone doesn't know that. And all you have to do is go talk to any 16 or 17-year-old kid and you find out how little they know. There are kids out here who think that oral sex is not at-risk sex. There's kids out here who there's so much misinformation. And I think one of the lessons that you have, I've been an historian traditionally throughout my career. I've written a lot of books on black history. And one of the things you learn as an historian is that every generation has to be taught the same lessons over again. And just because 30-year-olds know this doesn't mean that 17 and 18-year-olds know this.
Let's take a call. Jim, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Brian. Hello, Nelson. I had seen the film at Sundance, so I was completely knocked out by it. And one of the things that was so impressive was the authenticity of the language of the support groups in which women actually talk to each other about the conditions of their lives, and the conversation between the mother and the daughter, which Anna Marie Devere plays the mother. I wondered if Mr. George could talk about how he developed the actual dialogue in those two scenes.
Well, throughout the film, there's about five or six scenes that are sort of support group meetings in the film, where you see Queen Latifah, the actress Gloria Rubin, and my sister, as well as four or five other women who work with her in Brooklyn. And I went to a lot of meetings. I watched them. I took notes. And I knew kind of the general themes that they dealt with, you know, which tended to be things about disclosure, whether or not to disclose how difficult it was, things about getting people to pay attention. And they talked about how they got the virus, and also their own sexual issues in terms of their own relationships as they exist. And I just said to ladies, look, this is, you come in, let's sit together, we'll have some tea, we'll have some drinks, we'll relax, and I want you to talk like you usually talk, and I will guide you through certain topics. So the film, I mean, these women are talking the way they really talk, about the thing they really talk about. And after a while, the camera disappeared for them, and they spoke quite honestly. We just made sure that Queen Latifah, for example, was well-versed, and she brought in a lot of her own stories into this room. Gloria Rubin, who people may know from ER. She actually played she was the first HIV-positive character on national TV, then evolved into a kind of an AIDS activist on her own. She brought a lot of her own personal stories. So there's a sense of reality that the film has that people really plug into. Just that one speech he mentioned, Anna Devere Smith plays basically a character based on my mother,
mm-hmm.
Has a dialogue with her granddaughter about her behavior. And Anna Devere, those who know her work know she does these incredible one-woman shows.
Right.
Well, she basically interviewed my mother as if she was a character in one of her shows. And a large part of that particular speech comes right from my mother.
That's how Anna Devere Smith first came to fame, doing multiple characters from Brooklyn.
Yeah, she tries to get a little bit of my mother's sort of Virginia twang.
Mike in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I'm just calling... My sister, actually, she has HIV. She lives with HIV. She's straight. And we've just found a lot of support with the local GMHC community. Mm. You know, they run the AIDS Walk. And we've been walking it every year for the past many years. One issue we wish they would change the name from Gay Men's Health Crisis to just People's Health Crisis, because we feel that the name itself is actually really misleading in terms of getting a message out where...
Because at this point, as a general AIDS organization, they're working with a lot of women, they're working with a lot of non-gays.
Right. And, I mean, and... Is
that a barrier, do you think? Because it's such a major AIDS organization with so many resources, Nelson, do you think it's a barrier to black people in New York going there for services just because that name is off-putting?
It's interesting. You know, I think there is something to that idea that it is off-putting, because it's the problem. One of the problems, one of the many problems with HIV, is that it's such a stigmatized disease. So people who could use the help may, especially because there's a lot of homophobia in the black community, no doubt. May be put off by the fact that it says gay men's thing.
And it's like I just came down with this stigmatizing disease. Now I have to walk into a building that stigmatizes me in a whole other way that isn't even me, people may be thinking.
Yeah, but the truth is, I know my sister, for a fact, made it her business when she first got the virus and first started educating herself to go to the Gay Men's Health Crisis Center in Manhattan and to make those services available. So the bottom line is, if you really are looking for help, you'll go find it. Plus, there are, you know, any number of black gay men's organizations that have sprouted up that are doing great work.
They just don't tend to be as well funded.
Exactly.
So let's hear one more clip from the film To Go Out, and this again is Queen Latifah starring in the role inspired by your sister.
Now, maybe I don't have no excuse, but after this moment, y'all ain't got one either, because I'm standing here telling you, this disease ain't no joke. And I'm not going to shut up about it. I don't care if y'all don't care. If y'all stop dying, I'll stop talking about it. In the meantime, got to use your head, sisters.
The film is called Life Support. It debuts on HBO starting Saturday. What time is the first run?
8 p.m.
Nelson George, the director, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. This program is produced by Nuala McGovern with Jim Colgan, Lisa Allison, Priya George, Kate Hines. Debbie Daughtry at the Audio Controls. Talk to you tomorrow.